Tonight, we're joined by news editor of the legendary Coast to Coast AM, Tim Banal, to talk about everything from the state of paranormal media to answering the question of when is the right time for the U.S. government to reveal what they know about aliens. Spoiler alert, it's probably not right now. Deep beneath the stacks of the New York Public Library, it's Brian and Eric Don't Belong Here. Stay with us. Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the latest edition of Brian and Eric Don't Belong Here. I am Brian, and this is the part where I introduce my colleague Eric, and we have a fun little banter up top, but unfortunately I made a little audio whoopsie during the recording session, and now I'm re-recording it alone. Before we get into the interview, Eric and I are going to Paracon July 16th and 17th in Ansonia, Connecticut. Our good friend Tess Feifel from Astonishing Legends is going to be joining us both days, so even if you don't give a shit about us, you can come and say hello to her. It's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to be collecting ghost stories, and I also believe we're doing a very abbreviated live show with Tess. You can find tickets at Paracon. That's con with two N's, like the state of Connecticut. Paracon.wordpress.com. That's enough blabbering from me. Here's mine and Eric's conversation with Tim Banal. I'll catch you on the other side for some footnotes.
All right, and we're live with the sublime scoundrel of the paranormal, professional lunatic, pioneering founder of Banal of America, and news editor for the legendary Coast to Coast AM. We're here with Tim Banal. Tim, what's up, man?
Hey, how you doing, guys? Great to be on. Thanks for having me on your show.
Thank you for joining us. We are so excited.
All right. Yeah. Yeah, you guys were really excited about getting me on here. I'm like, I don't know.
Yeah, we're like, I don't think he knows exactly what our podcast is, so we'll just run with this and try to see if we can just continue the ruse all the way to the recording date. That's awesome. Tim, look, why don't we start from the top? Obviously, your paranormal occult resume is pretty long and storied. What's your deal? What do you do? Who are you?
Oh shit! What do you want? Like the origin story, or just what I do now, or
what do you do now? What are you doing?
I'm the news editor for Coast to Coast AM. I was podcasting for a long time. I still podcast from time to time. I've been podcasting since like 2005, I think. So like 17 years ago.
So the beginnings of podcasting.
I think that was just radio then, right?
Well, yeah, it was just called like audio file or whatever.
Computer radio show.
Yeah, they didn't have the name podcast yet. So that's it predates the word podcast.
What were you doing back? What was your show all about back then?
Paranormal stuff. Yeah, well, all right, I'll tell you what, I'll circle back. This kind of all ties together, so I'll do the origin story. Yeah. So when I get out of college, right?
Hell yeah.
I went to Syracuse University. Nice. I graduated in 2001, like 3 months before 9/11. So then I got home. My dad, God rest his soul, was like, gave me a piece of paper. He's like, this is how much you owe for college. Here's the fucking want ads, essentially. So,
yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I know. Back in the day, kids, they had these things called want ads. So I had to go and get a job. I ended up getting a job at my old high school as an overnight janitor. And became reacquainted with the paranormal as a result, because Coast AM Ooh. Runs from 1 a.m. to 5 a.m. here in Boston. So,
For anyone unaware, could you tell us about Coast to Coast
AM? Yeah, Coast to Coast AM. It used to be the Art Bell Show. Then in 2000, Art Bell sold it to Premier, and it became Coast to Coast AM. And George Norrie took over hosting in 2003, which is like now almost 20 years ago. And it's like it's an institution. It's the overnight radio, paranormal. It's the mothership. It's sort of like the New York Times of the paranormal. It's biggest, the big dog of paranormal radio. And, it's been around for 25, it has a very nebulous beginning. No one's really, our podcast kind of started talking about.
Sort of emerged out of it.
Yeah. He used to have a political talk show and then he got into, like, the weird stuff, and then he was like, well, more people want to hear about the weird stuff than than politics, so I'm going to just do that. And then it kind of slowly morphed into what it is today. So, yeah, that was like in the 90s, probably about when the X-Files was kind of coming on strong. Yep. So, like, almost 30 years ago.
Got it.
So that's Coast to Coast AM. Now it's like it's a juggernaut. It's on like hundreds of stations around the country. Anyone can hear it. Just go on the website, look up the affiliates. You can find it. It's a massive national radio show.
Hell yeah.
So I'm working the overnight shift, and I was listening to Coast to Coast and just learning about all this stuff. I had always had an interest in it as a kid, and then I went off to college and lost interest and got out of college, and 9/11 happened, and it was all really tumultuous and everything, and it was like everyone was kind of confused about what just happened. Like, no one could even imagine that was going to happen. So it was like a lot of confusion and everything, and I kind of parted around. Really didn't get into Coast to Coast till like 2003, because I was looking for stuff to read at work, and I picked up Jim Marr's Rule by Secrecy. And then Alien Agenda, like, and I read those like back to back over the course of like a weekend. Absolutely love those.
Classic stepping stone. So you kind of came into it from the conspiracy alien. You weren't like a big UFO, ghost guy or anything. Yeah,
UFOs and not like conspiracy. Yeah, the book was conspiracy, but I never really got kind of like hooked into conspiracy.
Yeah.
And I kind of moved on from that. So then Taken, the Steven Spielberg special, came out. And that was like in December of 2002. And there was like an R. Bell character, and someone was like, a buddy of mine was like, yeah, that's the whole radio show and everything, kind of turned me on to Coast to Coast. So I started listening in 2003.
Oh.
Then I ended up, as I'm listening to the show, I'm like, I was, this is like a complicated origin story. I apologize. But so then
this is great.
All good. This is great. This is perfect.
I'm a huge wrestling fan. So this kind of goes back to the podcast thing. So I was a subscriber to a wrestling website that was like, this predated podcast. Was like, we have like audio news updates, what they had. So they're like, we have a 15-minute update here on whatever happened last night on Monday Night Raw and, you know, what's going to happen at the pay-per-view and blah, blah, blah. So it was like, you can download that and play it on your MP3 player. And it was like, oh, that's innovative, right? That's a really cool idea. You can just sit here and like record something and then people can download that and listen to it. And it was like, so it's not music. It's like talking. So that was...
It's my moment for that was Kevin Smith's Smodcast, right? Of just like, this is amazing.
Yeah. It was like, why hadn't anyone done this before? So... But this was like right at the very beginning when no one, you know, it was just like, download these audio files. So it wasn't, they weren't even like shows. They were just like a guy and he's like, hey, this is Sam Keller from The Torch and here's what happened on Raw last night. So I was like, well, why don't I like figure out a way? Well, I went to this X conference in DC and I recorded interviews like with a handheld recorder and did it that way and just dropped, like rolled them out on my website. So then I was like, well, why don't I make a, like, I'm going to just turn this into a show, and...
When you say, Tim, real quick, when you say roll them out on your website, was this Banal of America? Did Banal of America exist?
Yeah.
Okay, gotcha, cool.
So then I'm like, okay, so people like those a lot, and a lot of the time people download them and stuff, and I was like, okay, there's something here. I'm like, I'm going to make this, like, a radio show, and essentially created the podcast in 2003. So that as time went on, I got a job with Coast to Coast filling in at their website, and then a few years later, they brought me in to do the news at the website, and that's what I do now. I write the daily news for the Coast to Coast AM website pretty much every day, Monday through Friday. And the cool, I guess, part about it is that I came full circle. I always try to tell the story when I do appearances and presentations because, you know, I was like an overnight janitor who was listening to Coast, and now here I am like 20 years later and I've been on Coast to Coast a bunch of times doing news stuff for them and I write for Coast to Coast. And it's like, I guess the point is that's not like to brag. I'm an incredibly lucky person that this happened, that, you know, it's a combination of hard work and good luck. But the point being is like anyone can do this. Anyone can get involved in this field. I went like I was an overnight. I mean, yeah, I have a college degree and everything, but I was an overnight janitor who now is the news editor for like the biggest paranormal news site in the world. So Anyone can do it. So if you're listening to this, you know.
If you're listening to the Brian and Eric Don't Belong Here podcast, I feel like that is abundantly clear. we set the bar very low.
Right, right. For anyone who's like listening, oh, I want to be a part of this, you can be a part of it. There's no, you know, it's not like pro wrestling. They'll let you in the backstage. You can come in, you can do whatever you want. You know, start a blog, start a podcast. You can be a part of this community and. You don't need a degree or anything or any training whatsoever. So.
Might even be a hindrance. Yeah, too much of that stuff.
So that is the paranormal. So, yeah, that's my origin story. So that's kind of who I am now. I write for Coast to Coast. I still podcast on occasion, but nowhere near what I used to do. If I kind of have an inkling and I want to talk to some people, I'll schedule like 3 or 4 or 5 shows and do them like over a course of like a month or two and then just stop for like 6 months. So I kind of just do it for fun now.
Sure.
Hell yeah. If people want to catch some of those shows, I'm on the BOA website right now. Banal of America. Great name, by the way. Banal of America. Are you still really? Oh, it looks like you had an episode drop in March, right?
Yeah, yeah. So if you just go up and just go to don't have it in front of me, but yeah, if you just click on audio at the top, you should be able to get it. And then, the website's a little static because it's just kind of not great at keeping it updated too much. But yeah, you should be able to be like every show we ever did is up there and free, so.
Hell yeah. I have a question going back to your origin story. What were the steps in between janitor listening to Coast to Coast and then how did Coast to Coast find out about you? How did you link up with them for
I used to write like these, because I would listen to Coast, so I used to write these, like, kind of snarky reviews of the show, where it was like, this guy was on, and he said this, but they were, like, always, like, they weren't, like, ripping on the show or anything. It was just kind of like, this guy said this, what, that's the craziest shit I've ever heard in my life, this guy said that, you know, and then, so the people at Coast to Coast knew who I was, because I was writing, like, these weekly recaps of the show, so when they needed someone to come on board and join the web team, they were like, well, this guy, you know, if he's available, he knows the show, he listens to the show, so it's kind of a good match.
It's funny how that does work out. I mean, that was basically how my career got started too. And like, there was a television show that I liked, a very small scale show. I just started blogging about it, and then eventually it was like, hey, we don't want to do the web end. Can you come do it?
Yeah, nice. Nice.
And that's how it works.
Yeah.
Hell yeah. Do you have a general pet paranormal topic that's like been of interest to you even in the janitor days? We mentioned like the UFOs and like the conspiracy angle. Is that primarily
I guess a pet, my personal favorite would have to be probably Bigfoot. More than even.
We just did a very silly episode on Bigfoot.
Yeah, I love Bigfoot. It's way, I don't know, it's just cooler. It's like, it's a creature. It kind of brings you back to like childhood or something. It's like a mysterious creature. And it's not as complicated as UFOs. It's pretty cut and dry.
There's either a big monkey man out there or there
isn't. I want to get into this with you, Tim, because I have some serious beef with the whole Bigfoot community.
Yeah.
Which is it not just a big ape? Like, if it exists, is it not just a big old monkey ape?
Well, no. I mean, there's the monkey, the giant ape theory, right? Then it doesn't exist, right? Those are the two of them. And then there's also like a supernatural Bigfoot camp.
Okay, like the quantum Bigfoot, like the Tibetan spirit.
Yeah, like a ghost, like a nature spirit creature.
Got it.
Yeah, my buddy Josh Cutchin and Tim Renner wrote a bunch about that. So, but yeah, that's kind of. But I mean, there's really only like three options, you know, maybe like four. So it's not like the alien thing.
Wrestling
came up earlier, and Tim, I would love to get your take on. We talked about it a bit on our Bigfoot episode, but how much of an element of Bigfoot do you think there are? Genuine hardcore believers versus a little bit of kayfabe.
People who believe in Bigfoot.
An excuse to go hang out in the woods with your buddies.
I think most of them believe in it. I think most people believe in Bigfoot. Yeah. It's not like wrestling where I don't know who the fuck thinks wrestling's real anymore. I'm sure there are some people out there.
Right.
Like, I don't want to stereotype.
Children,
yeah,
I'm sure.
Like, down stuff.
There's a core segment of our audience, but we'll just move on.
Exactly, yeah.
But, I'm sorry, what are you telling me about wrestling?
There we go. Cut the mics.
Yeah, yeah. But, yeah, I think, I think most people take it pretty seriously. You got to watch out more for, like, the people that take it too seriously in all this stuff.
Of course.
Sure. You know, who don't have a sense of humor about it, who are, like, just kind of anal about it. You know, you get those people in all walks of paranormal life. They can be pretty tiresome in a sense because they just take it way too seriously. They need to kind of just chill out a little bit about it. It's, you know, I like to say it, like, with the UFO, the people with the UFOs are really intense, and it's like, it's just flying saucers.
Oh, I
it's
bet.
It's just not really that, you know.
What blew me away about that community is, like, how much infighting there is, I guess, inside of world of UFOs.
Yeah, lots of infighting. There's a lot of infighting in all these groups. It's pretty crazy.
Yeah, of course.
It's pretty crazy. You know, and they don't like each other and shit. Like, the Bigfoot people don't really like the UFO people, and... They don't necessarily dislike them, but they kind of don't. None of these fields seem to respect what the other people are doing.
Yeah, well, they're freaks.
Right.
They're sick freaks. Yeah. They're idiots.
They're like, oh, you're out chasing a monkey around in the woods. Yeah. Where
I'm looking at the stars.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we're talking about visitors from another world here. This is scary. And then the Bigfoot people are like, dude, this is like an animal that's in the woods. You guys are talking about ape beings. Get the fuck out of here. So it's, yeah, they all kind of think everybody else is kooky and shit. So
we clearly need to stage a sports center or like one of those political talk shows where we get like three UFO people, three Bigfoot people, and just see what happens.
Yeah, that's the important issue of our time, I think, at this point.
What's that?
Let's hash that out. Bigfoot v. UFO.
Ah, we'll see.
You know? Yeah.
Can they find a common ground, and can we bring that to the people? Tim, Tim, what I want to know, speaking about all of this, could you give us a baseline of what you think your general belief in the paranormal is? Like 1 out of 10, 1 being none of this is anything, 10 is ghosts are real, and I have a best friend that's a ghost.
Wow. Definitely not a 10 then. Yeah, I don't know, dude. I mean, it's hard to quantify it like that, but it's like, I don't know, maybe like a 7.
Okay.
I mean,
okay. I think that's a.
I'm agnostic more than anything. I'm not like an. I'm not like an advocate. That might be the best way to put it.
Sure.
Like, I think there's probably something to it, and I think that, I think for most of this stuff, there's something to it. Like, there's probably ghosts, and there's probably Bigfoot, and there's probably UFOs. What they are, I don't know. That's when you get into, like, when you say, like, up to 10 or whatever, then the people who are, like, the 10 are, like, they know it. It's like, I don't know shit.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know anything. I can't prove anything. That drives me crazy when people are like, we know UFOs are aliens. You don't, dude, if you knew, you would prove it. Like, anyone who says they know anything is like, dude, if you just because you saw something over your head doesn't mean you know, like, just give me a break. So,
right.
So yeah, I mean, I like more agnostic about it. You know, I've always found the people who are interested in the stuff a little bit more interesting than the phenomenon itself. Because after a while, you can only hear so many UFO stories, and even I like a good Bigfoot like encounter story because they're so kind of like because you could really believe that could happen to you or something, you know. With it,
for sure.
With a flying saucer, it's more just like that's even hard for me to imagine that kind of thing. But with a Bigfoot, I don't know, it just seems more realistic. And same with kind of with ghosts too, being believable. But yeah, I mean, I'm not. Like I said, I'm not an advocate. I'm not, like, a true believer. I mean, like, when it comes to the UFO stuff, I've probably gotten more skeptical in the last, like, as I've gotten older and into this longer, especially, like, in the last few years with all the stuff that's been going on with the government. Like, I don't believe... I'll just say it. Like, I don't believe any of this UAP stuff has anything to do with aliens.
Interesting.
Hot take.
Yeah.
Could you give us a quick, for just the layman, could you give us a quick background on what you're talking about there?
Yeah. Like in 2017, the New York Times, late 2017, the New York Times published an article where they revealed, and I'm going to like botch a lot of the smaller details to this because it's really complicated. Sure. Like,
welcome right to Brian and Eric along here.
So they wrote it, they released an article, they published an article that was like revealed that the government had been studying UFOs for like, I don't know, in the previous decade. That kind of like set off this firestorm. Then some videos got leaked at the same time. People, I'm sure, have seen the videos if they've seen any of the news coverage of this story. It's all the same story. This whole thing is like one long, large, giant story. Then it just became like, first it was like a few years of like people talking about this. Oh my God, I can't believe this is happening. This is back when Trump was president. It got all the way after Trump and he was like, he kind of downplayed it. Then the last few years, they were like, somehow they got the Pentagon to do a study on this, on these unidentified aerial phenomena, UFOs, they call them UAPs, on pilots seeing these UAPs. So they came out with a report last year, it was inconclusive, then they formed a Pentagon UAP study group. That kind of just started like in January. They just testified before Congress like last month about it. So that's kind of like, it's this whole thing where it's like, okay, the government's going to try and figure out what UFOs are, except they call them UAPs, but they're all, everyone knows they're UFOs. Right. and I just, and personally, like even having seen the videos, just having followed this all along, I just don't think any of it has anything to do with aliens. I just think it's probably...
Is it just drones? I think it is.
I think it's drones and misidentification. You know, I mean, God bless the pilots. I have nothing against the pilots and shit, but, you know, people think they're infallible, but it's like, dude, you know, ride down the highway in the passenger seat of a car and, like, look out the window and see something, like, zipping by. Like, it's... You know, it's hard when you're moving and the thing is moving. Like, I don't give a fuck who you are.
Definitely.
Like, I'm sorry. Sure. It's just not, you know, I don't care how good your training is. If you only can see something for 3 seconds, like you know, you can't really, you know.
I need 5 seconds to identify my mom. That's my minimum threshold. I don't even know who she doesn't come. She comes in the window too. She might get a smack. You never know. Very fast reflexes.
Exactly. So I think it's like some kind of gamesmanship involving, you know, us and maybe China. And
so what do you think the deal with like the Luisa Elizondos of the world and those characters are? Do you think it's like just they're just part of the play? Like they're just a chess piece on the board?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know necessarily. Like it's all happening in real time, so it's hard to really figure out what's going on. You know, I mean, part of me wonders if, like, just one hand doesn't know what the other hand is doing, where they're like, look, like, we can't come out and say these are drones and shit, dude. So, like, okay, we're going to say, you know, we're going to go along with this thing. We don't know, we can't identify what they are. They're unidentified aerial phenomena. But really, behind the scenes, they're like, look, they're fucking drones. This is what they're ours. They're theirs. This is what's going on. We can't say anything about it because if we tell you... If we come out and say to the world that we know they're drones, then everyone will know how we know, which is, who knows? Maybe that's what they're trying to keep. You know, that they have intense super, that they're completely, you know, that they have 24/7 complete surveillance over the sky. And they're like, yeah, we know for a fact they're not because we have the entire atmosphere blanketed with essentially a fucking ring
bitch
camera.
We would know.
Yeah, so like, look, okay, you know that UAP you saw? Here's where, like, it's like those criminal line shows where they can follow the bank robber down this road and that road, and they might just be like, yeah, we can follow it. It goes right back to China right here. So here's where, you know, for a fact, it didn't go back to Venus or anything. It flew back to Beijing. So, you know, and they can't come out and say it. Maybe they can't come out and say that. I don't know. But to me, it's like this isn't... It just doesn't make any sense that it would be aliens. Like, why the fuck would they care? Like, I get, some people are like, oh, of course they would want to know about our military. Shit. No, they wouldn't. Like, I don't think, you know, they're so above us that we try to put ourselves on par with them, and we're not. Like, whatever this thing is, if I think there's some other intelligence or whatever. And I think it manifests as UFOs sometimes. And maybe there are other races of people coming here to check this out, probably sending robots and shit.
That, for me, that's the most fun branch of all this, is like the different alien races that people have invented, right, like the Greys and the Nords and the, yeah, it's incredible.
Yeah, so I mean, I hope, I think to get back to kind of what you were asking me about, like, where do I, what do I believe in? It's not even a lot of it is so much belief, but a lot of it's just kind of hope. Like, I hope that, you know, I hope that a lot of this shit is true, because it's way cooler if it is true than if it isn't. But to me, the all this UAP stuff, I think, doesn't necessarily have to do with aliens. I don't know. I'm just skeptical of that, you know? I mean, I've looked at the same evidence that everybody else has, and I'm sure, you know, they'll say, well, this, that, the other thing, but, you know, to me, it's like, it's got to be, like, pretty super strange to be alien, you know? I mean, I don't know.
Yeah.
It's got to be, I haven't seen anything where it's where I see a video or whatever, you know. Anecdotal stuff, it doesn't really do anything for me. Like, I have this kind of thing.
I mean, that
haven't been in this for a while. I have this sort of mantra because I've been following this story for a while, and it's like, I'm just kind of like, just I'm worn out from a lot of this. So I'm just like, show me the fucking aliens at this point. I'm tired of like. I'm tired of people saying they saw things. I'm tired of people saying they know things. I'm tired of people saying things are going to happen.
You have a phone. You have a camera on your phone. Get a fucking picture.
Let me see the alien.
Right.
Let me see the fucking alien.
Right.
Like, and I guess it does me no good to have people who say, like, well, I know for sure the government has better stuff, but we haven't seen it yet. Well, it's like, all right, bro. Say it with me. Say it with me, class. Show me the fucking aliens, then. Like, I'm tired. Like, if you, what good does it do me? Like, I told you guys. Oh, guys, I know for a fact the government has like super awesome video. It's high def, and it shows an alien like behind the wheel. What good does it? Doesn't do you any good. Some people get excited about that.
It's as good as not having it.
I hope it's just the only reason they haven't embarrassed, they haven't released it, is because it's too embarrassing. They're all just like in a weird pool, like splashing around with an alien wearing weird
things. Right, exactly.
Like, we can't let this go. This can't go out.
Yeah.
It'll ruin us. Tim, let me ask you this question. So this stuff is a little, it's not really doing it for you. You've been with Coast to Coast for a while. What is the weirdest, strangest, kind of bone-chilling, just odd thing that you've encountered, either in your work or personally, or like a call that came in where you're like, holy shit?
I haven't had any real paranormal experiences, actually. I'm really lucky.
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah, I think the deeper you're into this, some people really get a lot of
shit
happen, but a lot of people, I think, who've been in it for a long time don't, you know. It's kind of, it's weird. I don't know. I have a really weird relationship with the paranormal because I write about it all the time. So it's like, it's almost antagonistic in a way, because I'm like, where, sure, you know, I need the paranormal to do shit so I can write about it.
Right.
And so
for me, it's
like, it's like, let's go get up to it. Paranormal. I need you to, you know, do something. I need something to happen. I need someone to see a UFO or a Bigfoot and film it or whatever. And, you know, so it's gotten to be a little antagonistic as time's gone by.
Do you have any, I'm going to try to articulate this in a way that makes sense. Do you have any set of like internal parameters that sort of like check marks and boxes of like, ah, this is bullshit, or like, ah, there might be something to this one. Any like clear cut signs that something might be a little more on the bullshit angle?
Well, I mean, when I cover anything for Coast to Coast, I try to give it the right down. I try to just call balls and strikes and not really editorialize. So I say, like, if it's a video of like a ghost, an alleged ghost, potential ghost, or whatever, I'm like, well, here's the circumstances of the video. Here's, you know, what people is in the video and what people think it, you know, think why they think it's a ghost. Then I always include like a last part that's like skeptics will say and have an explanation for what it could be, because I don't ever want to be like the person that's like ghosts caught on film, like this is definitive, you know, because like as I said, I'm really big on proof. I'm like really big on on being definitive about things. If you're going to make any declaration of, like I said, I don't like people who say, oh, we know what UFOs are or whatever. So it's, so I always try to, like, play it, just call it balls and strikes pretty much. I don't really.
That makes a lot
and,
of sense.
And if I think something's, like, completely bogus, I just really won't, like, cover it, I guess. This might be the best. I mean, there's a lot of, like, a lot of stuff happening right now on TikTok with, in general, a lot of bad paranormal content on TikTok and, like, people faking.
Lot of bad
a lot of people faking videos and,
well, I was going to say, I mean, we're talking about, like, you know, show me the money, show me the alien, and everybody has a phone in their pocket, but it's kind of a double-edged sword, like you're talking about, because it's also easier than ever to fake footage.
Right.
And edit shit. Yeah.
Well, more often than not, too, like, I mean, UFOs are a little different. I see a lot of people see, because, like, a lot of people film shit that's not alien, and it's so, when you're filming, like, a lantern in the sky, like, it's easy, it's easier to film it. Because the lantern isn't, like, being piloted by anyone intelligent or anything. So it's not, like, going anywhere, it's just floating in the air. But, like, if you, like, encounter a Bigfoot, more often than not, like, almost every Bigfoot story I've heard involved, like, people, they have, it's like a, I think there's even a name for it, but I don't know off the top of my head, but it's like, it happened, like, you see this, you cannot believe what you're seeing. The thought of, like, taking out your camera to film it doesn't even cross your mind. Because you're, like, looking at a Bigfoot. Like, I mean, I think if I ran into a Bigfoot and I saw a Bigfoot, I mean, everybody sort of, like, thinks they would, oh, I'd get out my camera and I'd film it. And,
a great
like, but I think, like, if you saw a Bigfoot, you'd be so captivated by what you were seeing that you wouldn't want to take your eyes off it first.
That majestic creature of the world.
Yeah, you would just be like, wow, and you would be watching it, and then eventually you would probably walk away or run away or whatever, and then you'd be like, oh shit, I should have taken a picture of it. But it's like so mind-blowing to see that you don't, you know, you just want to, in the moment, you just want to be in the moment. I don't know if that's some kind of uncanny ability of the creature, which is so unbelievably, like, bizarre that people, like, messes with people's minds or what. You know what I mean?
Eric, I feel like that's what we're destined for, is to definitely definitively see Bigfoot, you know, just, like, taking a shit in the woods, and we're just like, shit, we didn't take a video.
Just phone, yeah, battery's dead, I'm afraid, I dropped my, phone in a puddle, 100%.
But to go, just to go back to your answer, I don't have a favorite thing right now. I'm always, like, my life is just one long, fast series of stuff. Like I got to get up tomorrow and I'm back in the river, in the paranormal river. So I barely ever have time to stop and, like, look around and think about what, you know, what my last few stories or whatever go. I mean, I've taken an interest lately in last few years. I got I should preface this by saying I did not adopt flat earthery. But I became really interested in the flat earth community.
Sure.
And became really interested in that whole group of people. Like around 2018, 2019, early 2020, like that 2.5 year period, I was really became sort of like a real serious observer of the flat earthers. And then I kind of moved on, like, because they don't, nothing really ever changes with the flat earthers. And a lot of that moved on.
They didn't find a lot of evidence.
Yeah, it's a story as old, for like centuries old conspiracy theory. That nothing's changed. Like, it's either flat earth or it's not, dude. Like,
yeah. How do they explain flying in a plane?
You got to talk.
What's the rebuttal to that?
They have answers for everything. Every time I'll say this, Eric. Every time I do a show, or every time I even bring it up, people want to, like, start testing me. Like, I don't know how they explain GPS. I have a vague understanding of the theory, like that there's, like, ice walls around the Earth, but I try.
Because they've got some good points. You know, like, we're being honest.
Yeah. Well, you know. But when I met them, you know, I've met them, I've hung out with them, I've talked to them, but I try not to get into the nitty-gritty of the theory, because it's like, it's just, it's like fan service or something. It's like not, you know, it's just them going over goofy comic book type canon, you know what I mean? Where it's like, none of that shit's real, dude! Like, like, no. No, there isn't a dome over the top of the flat Earth, but they'll go on and on, and they have an explanation for everything. So it's exhausting because you end up wanting, you know, you either, I think this happens to a lot of people, get mixed up in that because people don't know. They'll go, well, how do you explain this scientific thing with the sun and the moon and the stars and everything? And it's like most people don't know. You know, they can't. If you actually, yeah. Actually said to you guys, like, can you prove to me that the Earth is round? Like, it's harder to prove that it is, like, because it's just, like, because it is, dude. It's just round. Like, everybody, I've seen pictures of it. I know for a fact. I see the way, you know, there's a million reasons. But you couldn't sit down with, like, a pad and a pen and go, here's exactly why the Earth is round. But they'll, like, hit you with, like, and then finally you're kind of like, oh, shit, maybe they're onto something here. Maybe I can't explain why the sun and the moon and the stars and shit. But then, like, if you get a scientist, they'll be like, yeah, it's because of this thing called the refraction theory or whatever, that the shadow goes this way to that. And it's like, oh, okay. But that happens.
It's just, like, actually pretty simple.
Right. So when I met the flat earthers, I kind of went into it with it, like, hey, I want to know why you're into this. I don't want to get into it. I don't believe this. I get that you believe it. Let's not go there. Like, let's just keep that part out, because I don't want to debate you about it. I don't want to argue with you about it. I'm not going to try and convince you that I'm right. Please don't try and convince me that you're right, because it's exhausting.
What percentage of them respected that request?
I'd say like 95%.
Okay, all right.
They were nice. Shocking. The flat earthers were shockingly nice people and kind of sweethearts. I thought at first, and then the more I got to know them, I'm trying to say this the nicest way possible, but they all seem like decent, good people. They seem misguided because they believe the Earth is flat.
Sure.
And then they became more misguided in the last few years. A lot of them have got really into the pandemic stuff. So they're super anti-vax, yeah. They're super plandemic, and I took the pandemic very seriously. I live in Boston, so we experience. You guys are in New York, I think, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
So we kind of got it the worst right from the very beginning, right?
Exactly.
Like, I was right away, I'm like, what the fuck are these people talking? Like, people are dropping dead, like, left and right here in Boston. This is getting scary.
Right.
You know, April, May, you know, March, April, May, at the very beginning of the pandemic, New York, Boston got, like, crushed.
Mm-hmm.
So I never had any doubt that this was real. I was one of those people wiping the fucking groceries and doing
everything
I had to do. Like, okay, this is, you know, they may not be getting it down in fucking Kentucky. I don't know why, but everybody up here is fucked. Right. And, like, you know, and I'm going to wear a mask, like, because I know for sure this is bad.
It is so weird where you go anywhere else, and, like, the loudest complainers are the ones of, like, oh, you don't even, no one is even doing anything here.
Right.
Nothing here is.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
What are you even complaining about? You didn't even have it, the hardest restriction.
I really do love that idea, though, that seductive idea that, like, you've cracked the code. And, like, you've gone through the matrix.
We all want to think that, 100%. Right?
Yeah. That's the big, I generally, when you run into people like that in the conspiracy paranormal field, like, run away, because, like, they're really, there's, like, an arrogance I find, like, anyone who's like, wake up, sheeple, it's like, all right, dude.
It's my favorite phrase.
Yeah.
Is there something you think that attracts people specifically to something like Flat Earthers, or do you think there's a certain type of person, you could roll a die which thing they get super into, and it happened to be Flat Earth?
Well, the people got into Flat Earth, there was, like, a study done where it was sort of an informal study, like, just 100 people who went to the Flat Earth Conference, and it was, like, 99 out of 100 said they got into it through YouTube, so that's kind of a whole other thing, but it's like,
that's a whole thing.
And then you get into kind of, like, a lot of the dark conspiracies and shit that's going on now. A lot of that just kind of filters through YouTube, as frightening as it sounds, right. Or it did. They kind of tried to clean it up, but for a while there, it was like really bad, and that's how a lot of this started. And the people, you know, people who are into UFOs, I think it's like they usually generally have a sighting of some kind. A lot of people. Or they think that they had an experience, like, they call themselves experiencers now, but, like, not necessarily an abduction, I don't know, a visitation, you know.
Does that count?
What's that?
Does that count?
Well, they call themselves experiencers. I think that covers, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Got it. Just anyone who saw anything kind of
weird. I think,
weird.
And I need to talk to, like, maybe I should talk to my buddy Jeremy Rainey. He kind of is into this stuff more than me, but, like, yeah, I do wonder if, like, the stigma of, they don't want to be called abductees anymore. And I'm sure that it has to do with, like, a lot of the psychosexual aspects of the abductor.
Sure.
Yeah, there's some real horny
What did
UFO
they do
stories.
To you?
Right. So I think anyone who says they've been abducted immediately, like, the probe thing comes up. And I think that's why this whole experiencer thing came about. Because, like, they don't want... Right. They want to just not have anything to do with the abduction, the A word. Because it comes with all the other baggage that's attached to that. So I think, but people who think that they had an encounter with aliens or into the UFOs, I think a lot of people just like are trying to make sense of shit. I think a lot of people want there to be more to life than this. You know,
sure,
I'd agree
with that.
And I think that, unfortunately, a lot of people, you know, they just kind of want an escape. They want like something to happen that's gonna like shake up their lives. Maybe things didn't work out the way they hoped it would, and look, shit. Hey, a lot of shit hasn't worked out the way I hoped it would for me. So I'm not. This is no.
Definitely.
You know, I mean, hey, look where the fuck I am. So I'm living proof, right? But like,
I'm right there with you, buddy.
Hey man, you're on the Brian and Eric show smoking cigs and you got a full shoe rack. I call that winning the life lottery.
But I think that's a big part of it. I think there's people who were like, especially in the UFO thing, I think people like with Bigfoot, they can live if, like, they're not, their lives don't depend on Bigfoot being real or not. But I think there's a certain portion of the UFO community who's like, they need this thing to be real for some reason.
For sure.
And it's like, I think that's why I kind of become more a little more disconnected with the... I think that whole kind of community, because it's like, I have no emotional attachment to this being real or not. And B,
sure.
I think more than anything, I'm sure I was thinking this before the pandemic, but like, to me, this is sort of another hot take. It's nothing I haven't said on other shows before, but it's like, I'm against UFO disclosure. I'm probably, I think it's
keep it secret.
I think, well, I'm for UFO disclosure, but not right now. That's my...
Oh, reversal.
Because to me, it's like, we cannot handle that. We cannot fucking handle this. Like, as a society, we cannot...
If there's one thing we've proven,
it is, it's so funny. I feel like maybe COVID, they were just like watching, like, perhaps this external threat shall unite society, and then we'll be ready to release the truth. The truth about aliens. They're like, roll it back! Roll it into the vaults!
Yeah. All you need
lock it up!
All you need to look at is COVID. That was the litmus test, and we fucking failed. We failed.
Yeah, we didn't do great on
failed the
one.
Test. We, this outside force, we don't know anything about it. It's come in. It's killing people. We need to fucking unite and buckle down and face this threat as a species. And we completely lost our fucking marbles and couldn't handle it.
Yeah.
So it's like, but now you're going to tell me that not a little bug or whatever, but like a fucking race of beings are here. Like how no one can get along. Like, and
100%.
And
as your government, we implore you, please do not give wedgies to our esteemed alien visitors. Dude, this is our one request.
It's like the same as it used to be back then. Some people are going to love them, some people are going to hate them. But like now it's like just too, people are too fucking intense. People are too intense.
Yeah,
and I'm sure like anyone listening to this scope who would say, oh, but you know, they've always said that we weren't ready. No, I think we were probably ready sometime in the 90s. I think
we missed the window. The clean years, perfect time for an alien.
I think when the Soviet Union fell and there was no threat of like a nuclear war, and people were really, and there was a lot of the X-Files thing was kind of bubbling up. That was they probably could have done something to move this.
That was the time.
Yeah, but then like.
That was the 90s were a dad who were like, all right, you can have a beer.
Yes.
Oh, God damn it. That was a mistake. Hang on. All right.
But it was like, that's the closest in my lifetime I've ever seen to world peace. Right?
History like stopped briefly in the 90s. Yeah. We had Frasier on the tube. Domino's was around the corner. It was fine. Nothing was happening.
Right. And then 9/11 happened and everybody went back to being like all on edge all the time.
Yep.
So, but that was the window. But now, you know, shit, I don't see, I just don't think it would be good. I just don't think we can handle it as a society, you know. I'm for disclosure, eventually.
Eventually. When we've proven we can be responsible.
Right. I think it more depends on the, whatever the thing is anyway. Like, I don't trust the government to really, why would they want to tell anybody what it is anyway, you know?
Very good point. What good?
It won't do them any good,
right?
So I think they probably but yeah, I don't think we're ready as a people here, at least in America. You know, and it seems like that's the case around the world. Everyone's just kind of really on edge and intense right now. So I don't you know, I don't even know how to get out of that mess. So let alone like put into. Put in aliens now, and it makes it even more complicated.
It's just not a good time.
It really isn't.
Getting on to a slightly different track, just on your involvement with Coast to Coast, as news editor, what does your like day-to-day look like there with all of this stuff coming in? How do you even begin?
Well, I pretty much just sit down and, you know, brew up some coffee and then search the web for the latest whatever's happening with the different topics. Like every topic under the sun you can think of, pretty much, I cover. So it's like, you know, every day starts with like just, like I have a huge list of sites that I go through that have news.
Do you have any like top favorite sources?
I like the British tabloids a lot. People rip on the British tabloids. Yeah.
They get
some of the wackiest UFO and just weird paranormal stuff. They have like dedicated sections on their websites to weird news, and they usually get some pretty good stuff. And then I go through Reddit a lot for sort of weird human interest stories. With paranormal, it's just kind of like a lot of times. Then I utilize Google search a lot, so it's just sort of like a constant. It's like a machine almost, just constant churning of searching Google News for like a huge list of topics. Like every day, I pretty much. It's like being on a beat pretty much, but it's the paranormal. So you just go through every possible idea you can think of every day. So it's like three or four.
Do you ever get like tips? Like, do you ever get like, it's like a crazy guy?
Yeah, some people will send me stories and stuff. People will send me like news stories. But I try not to run like someone's own personal like anecdote because they can't really do much with that.
Right.
You know, unless they have photos or something like that. But even then, it's, you know, it's kind of hit or miss. But generally, yeah, I just kind of search out the news and then I, you know, find the latest, you know, story that interests me and I think people will be interested in, and then I sort of retell the story in a way through my own words. So it's like if some local news TV station has a story about somebody that saw a Bigfoot, I kind of like tell the story in my own way, sort of run it through the Coast filter, if you will.
That makes sense. What do you think is overall the state of paranormal? Yeah, you know, we talked about YouTube. We talked about British tabloids. Paranormal media overall. Do you think we're past kind of the golden age of it? Do you think the best days are still to come of paranormal media?
I think we're probably on the upswing a little bit. I think the UFO thing is so hot right now that it's kind of lifting up other stuff a little bit. Mm. And ghosts were always pretty big too. And I feel like in the 20 years I've been, relatively 20 years I've been in this, I definitely think the paranormal has moved higher up in sort of like, I don't want to, respect or something like that, or accessibility or permissibility. Like before it was like, sure, people 90% of the time, most of the time it was something that to be laughed at, and it's still like something to be laughed at. And if you don't laugh at it, you really kind of need to take a look at it closer, because
right,
this stuff is so weird. It's paranormal, dude. It's absurd. It's like, if it's supposed to be strange, and it's like, if you can't laugh at that, if you can't find the humor in that, like, you're kind of missing the point. So I think I guess I would liken it to, I don't know, how old are you guys? Like, are you guys in your 20s or your 30s?
I'm 33.
I'm 30.
Nope, dying.
I'm 35.
Someday 35. Dying.
All right, so you guys are kind of like, you're like maybe like eight or so years younger than me. So, but yeah, like I liken it to when I was growing up, like the geek culture thing. Like that wasn't the thing until maybe like 15 or so years ago. I'm sure someone can kind of like pinpoint it, but like, you know, it became, maybe even when the internet came along, it became like the, but like all this, you know, you say it with affection, like all this nerdy shit, like was like for nerds, and now it's cool, and it's socially accepted, and I think the paranormal is kind of like just coming on the back end of that, like the tail of a comet. I think it's kind of just catching up to a lot of that stuff, and to the point where
we're gonna get.
I liken it also, I don't know, to like wrestling in a way, because like back before the late 90s when the Monday Night Wars happened, wrestling was like super trashy and like no one respected it. And then the Monday Night Wars happened and it was like the number one thing in the country for like 2 or 3 years. And it became like cool and mainstream and shit. And it never went, like it went up to that level. And never really went back down, way down to the bottom. It kind of like moved just a little bit lower. Yeah, and now, like, before, they would never put like a wrestler on ESPN or any of that shit. And like now, like, it's just more. It's like this thing is a part of the culture. It's Americana. It's all of a sudden now it's like this kitschy thing we all love. And before it was like, oh, that fucking wrestling, that's for, you know, bumpkins and shit. So it's like, that you take that sort of principle and you apply it to what's going on with the paranormal. I think it's kind of getting in that same cycle of social acceptance that it's become like sort of this cool Americana thing where weird shit, it's to be appreciated rather than laughed at.
Are there, hell Tim, yeah, do you think there's any other outlets aside from Coast to Coast that you really like, that you think are like doing it right? Like any podcasts or cool shows?
I don't listen
anything
to any.
Perhaps a podcast you're on right
now.
I'm
a big fan of Brian and Eric. Don't belong here.
Yeah, I heard they were.
All right, let's jump down the show. I think we got everything we need.
That's they pick the best guests. I know that.
Yeah,
sure.
They do. Yeah, absolutely. The handsomest, the greatest looking guests. That's one of our criteria.
But nah, I mean, there's other great news sites out there.
Yeah.
You know, Anomalist is good. I've been, you know, going to them for a long time. Daily Grail.
Yeah.
I don't listen to any podcasts, so I can't really say. I just don't have the time. I just don't have the time. And this has been a really interesting experience for me because, you know, I started out as a fan and sort of a person who was interested in this and a podcaster and sort of a content producer. But now, like, this is my job. And it just takes on a whole different feeling after a while, because it's like, even when I was first into this, I was more inclined to like spend my spare time on the paranormal. But now it's just like, I'm like a chef who why would you watch a cooking show when you get home from work kind of thing. So like people are like, oh, what do you think of, do you watch Ancient Aliens or this, that? And it's like, I don't watch any of that shit. I don't listen to any podcasts, and most of the time it's because I don't have time. I get why people listen to it, because a lot of people have sort of that free time. I just don't have that kind of free time like I used to, you know. So
yeah,
I was walking a lot a few years ago. I should get back into it, but that's a whole other kettle of fish. But the and I did listen to podcasts like a couple years ago. So I guess I would say also if you're there are a handful, like Mad Scientist podcast I like a lot with Chris Cogswell and Marie Mayhew, and my good friend Aaron Gullius has two shows. He has The Saucer Life, and oh shit, I always forget his co-host name. We talk all the time too, but he also has Great Lakes Lore. So that's
oh cool.
Yeah, let me see. I can get that up while I'm talking to you. But yeah, Great Lakes Lore and Saucer Life are my two. Shows in Mad Scientist podcast. That would be, yeah, those would be the ones I enjoy. Otherwise, Samantha Engel. That's Aaron's co-host on the show. Sorry, Samantha. But yeah, so Gullius and Samantha Engel, they have Great Lakes Lore, and Aaron Gullius has the an outstanding podcast, Saucer Life, and Chris Cogswell and Marie Mayhew. They have Mad Scientist podcast. It's kind of more of a skeptical. Sort of historical science-y kind of look at things, but it's interesting. I was thinking I was talked about this with other people though too. It's I don't know how closely you guys follow any of this the scene, but it's very difficult to part of the problem with this UAP era, I call it, is it's extremely difficult to keep up with, like.
Generally what I've seen is just people mad at each other on Twitter. I'm like, I'll have someone smarter than you explain this to me.
And it's like, I don't begrudge anybody with a show. Like, who the fuck am I? You know, I just said at the beginning of the show, everybody should have a show if they want a show, right? But that doesn't mean I have to listen to them. And to me, it's like, if you really want to know what's going on in the UFO scene nowadays, you have to really fucking commit. And you have to listen to you know, hours upon hours of interviews.
Like, it feels kind of like crypto, like the whole crypto community, where it's like you're reading just pages of documents, but you're not exactly sure if there's anything there. Like, it's always just Commander Fravor again somehow. Is it just this one video? Are there more videos? I've only seen this one video.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. It's not unlike, I keep going back to this, but it's like not unlike like wrestling nowadays, where it's like, if you really want to follow it, you have to commit like 8 to 10 hours a fucking week to follow us. Who has time for all that? Like,
you have to commit the 8 to 10 hours a week. But also, if you just watch the pay per views, it'll catch you up.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Not that much actually.
Yeah, that is true. That is true. But you know what I'm saying? all the little things is like, yeah, you gotta. It expects a big commitment from you.
Right. Eric, did you have anything else you wanted to go over?
I think that's pretty much it. Tim, I don't want to take too much of your time. You've been super generous. I can keep talking
for a while if you want. I don't care. So if you go on.
Same here. We have a problem where Brian and I can just be alone in a room making noises at each other just into perpetuity. I was curious, like, your site, actually, Banal of America, is just absolutely fantastic. It's like a real gem of a lot of crazy shit. Like, you've got a sweet forum, you've got this cool guy. Is the forum still active?
No, it isn't.
It's not, right?
No, it isn't. That site hasn't been updated in, like, 4 years. I barely use it.
Tim, I don't leave the house. Please don't tell me. This was a real find for me.
I suppose the archive, I would recommend people check out the archive of the radio show, because that's the podcast, because that's where all the stuff is. But the website itself is sort of just like a really old vehicle to get the radio show out there.
Can people like subscribe to your podcast on wherever you get podcasts, or it's just you just got to go to the site?
Yeah, wherever you get podcasts, I'm really... I don't know which one of you guys I was talking to when we were booking the show, but it's like, I'm a real Luddite with this stuff. So I see people like with their podcasts now who are like also available on this, that, and the other thing. And it's like, I don't even know how to get on that shit. Like, I don't know anything about it. So you just go to Banal of America. There's a thing for the podcast feed, wherever you put the fucking podcast feed, however you use a podcast feed, there it is. Yeah, you can use it.
Heard it here first.
It's one of my favorite things, though, is, you know, you're saying like, kind of a Luddite, not sure how to get on these things. And like, Eric and I, you know, we make an effort to stay on top of this stuff. And then as you logged on tonight, you're like, by the way, I can't find your fucking email anywhere.
Yeah, right.
You can stay on top of stuff and still miss the fucking basics.
Exactly. Well, that's, part of the thing with these, with shows and shit. It's like, they have all the stuff. You know, I've seen people like launch shows. They haven't even put out an episode yet. And they have like a logo, the store, and all this other shit. And it's like, what the fuck? Why would I want a t-shirt with your podcast on it? You haven't even done a show yet. Like, what the fuck? I guess as a collector's item, if you never do a show. But yeah, no, I mean, like you're like I'm joking around here. Like the store, dude, at the Benal, like literally that store hasn't been. I haven't even probably logged into. Despite the front that store for over a decade. It's completely... The forum hasn't been used in, like, 10 years. The whole thing is, like, I haven't had... It has columns up here. I haven't had anyone write for us for a long time. So it's super outdated. But, yeah, if you click on the audio, that'll take you to the audio archive. You kind of dig around in there, you'll be able to find it. But, yeah, we've got, like, 300, 400 shows by now. Going all the way back to, like, 2005, which is pretty crazy if you think about it. 17 years ago now.
Holy shit. That's wild.
Wow. A lot of interviews with people that aren't around anymore, too, which is kind of like, that might be my...
I mean, that's always great.
What's that?
I mean, that's always so good to have.
I thought you were celebrating the death of past guests.
Yeah.
I heard it when I saw it, when I said it.
What we really want to do is outlive our guests.
Yeah.
That's our...
You hear it when you say it, and then you have that moment of silence. Like, was that as bad as that I thought that went?
I was giving somebody shit the other day like that. Yeah, because, like, on Twitter, you can only like things. So, like, I forget who it was. It was someone. Someone like, he's not, it wasn't Dudley Moore, because Dudley Moore is dead. But it was someone like Dudley Moore. It was like, I have COVID. Make sure you take care of yourself or whatever. And a friend of mine, like, liked it. And I, like, copied it and sent it to them. And I'm like, what the fuck did Dudley Moore ever do to you, dude? Why are you liking it? Like, you can't do anything else but like it on Twitter, right? So it looks so awkward. But yeah, I know what you mean. But yeah, no, what happened was I started out a long time ago. So I talked to a ton of people who, at the time, were the main players who had been around forever. Who, I guess, you know, you never really think about it, but like who were kind of like in the twilight of their careers or heading to the twilight. By the time they reached the end, I've been going for a while. So, but guys like Stan Freeman, I interviewed Stan. Stan was like a dear friend by the time we were all said and done. I interviewed him like 13, 14, 15 times. It was like, holy shit.
Wow.
Yeah. And Jim Mars, I interviewed like 10 times. You know, guys like John Lear and Brad Steiger. And a whole bunch of folks, Rosemary Ellen Guiley, that aren't with us anymore. It's been a little odd to be in the scene for so long and seeing so many people pass away and everything. It's been kind of like, whoa, this is, you know, it's definitely, you can see sort of a generational change as time goes by.
Time keeps passing.
Wow.
Hell yeah. I think we've hit basically all of our points. Tim, are there any burning thoughts you have? Any topics you would love a chance to talk about on a modestly listened to podcast?
No. I pretty much said all my favorite talking points anyway. So I think
don't disclose.
Yeah. Don't disclose yet.
Right.
You know. We need something, you know, when we need some kind of unifying, you don't even want to think about it, but like, I don't know, a massive earthquake or something. Like, I don't know, something that the whole planet will be like, this sucks that this happened, and let's put aside our differences to, but you know, every time something shitty happens, people don't come together, so I don't know.
It's you heard it here first, Tim Benal saying, we need a massive countrywide earthquake to bring this place together. Tim, thank you so much for joining us. Where can we find you on the
internet? Well, you want my writing, you go to coasttocoastam.com. That's coast, T tocoastam.com. It's pretty much all over there. Click on articles if you want. It'll be there. And it's on the carousel thing on the front page. And it's all through the Coast to Coast social media and everything else. So if you click on an article, it'll have my name on it. If you want to listen to the Banal of America podcast, you go to banalofamerica.com, B-I-N-N-A-L-L of America.com. I really should update that website. Maybe I will. Maybe I will sometime soon. So, yeah, I can't. We haven't done a show since March, but I'll come back at some point. I'm thinking a few at some point this summer, I think. So, yeah, this has been good. This kind of gives me a little
nice,
a little kind of
hell yeah. Yeah,
will you guys do a weekly show? You do?
Yeah,
we're weekly.
Yeah, well, I.
Which is a nightmarish pace.
Yeah, well, I was talking about this a while back with my buddy Greg Bishop because he's kind of settled into my similar schedule, sort of this paranormal podcaster AARP kind of schedule where it's like, when I feel like it, I'll do a show. But it's like running in a way. I used to run when I was younger, and it's like, You guys are in podcasting shape, so you can kind of do it once a week.
Right,
and that's about it.
Yeah,
that's the only kind of shape.
And if I try, like, I need to like really have like 4 or 5 weeks like all set, because if I do a show on a Tuesday and I don't have a guest for the next Tuesday, like I'm just not, you know, it takes me a while to get back up and running again in a sense.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's a lot like exercising and shit. But anyway.
Hell
yeah.
Yeah. Tim, thank you so much. Eric, you ready to get back to the other side of the framework? This is all going to get cut.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Hey, it's me again here to just handle the cleanup. Want to say thank you to Tim Banal. What a fantastic conversation that was, and we hope to hear from him again in the future. Do you want to get in touch with us? You can email us at spookybriananderic@gmail.com. We're also on Twitter @BrianandEricPod. Everything else can be found on our blog at briananderic.show. Also want to say thank you to Carl Casey at White Bat Audio for the use of his music. For both of us here at Brian and Eric Don't Belong Here, thank you for listening, and stay safe out there.